Amen, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 7. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't I got a worksheet? Lift your hand up, and I'll come around and give it to you. Luke chapter 7, looking at verse number 36. While you're doing that, let me put a bug in your ear here. We have several, I'm going to call shut-ins, folks. Some are at home. Some are in rehabs from time to time. Some are in assisted living. Some are in nursing home. Sometimes we have quite a few. Sometimes we don't have so many. Sometimes I just need some folks to make some visits in the hospital. And our guys all make visits. We sometimes are down there twice a week each. We make visits. But gives us an opportunity, especially for those we can't get to every week and folks who are, you know, are, like I said, are in rehab or just shut in and can't get out, or assisted living or nursing homes, those kind of things. We had some ladies down in Maryland with us, and what they would do is they'd go out on a Tuesday morning. And they'd go out and they would take the little list and they would visit, you know, two or three this week and maybe another one or two that week. And if the people they went and visited got long-winded, well, they just do the one visit and then they'd go have lunch. And that was their ladies' day out for those couple ladies. And we had some other folks who would just go. Sometimes it was couples. Some of them said, well, I wouldn't mind doing that in the afternoon, or I wouldn't mind doing that in the morning, or I could do that on Tuesday once a month. Or I'd be willing to do that, you know, on a Thursday once a month, or whatever. And so Brother Brandon and I have been talking about this a little bit, and if you'd be interested in doing that, I'm not saying you got to do it every week, but the fact is, there are people that we can't get to all the time. And if you would just be willing to say, you know what, I'll just go out and make a couple of visits, stop in, say hi. I mean, maybe you have a famous banana bread or something. You can take them a little loaf of that if you want to, but don't feel like you have to. You know, just walk. Listen, folks who sit in the nursing home, folks in the house all the time are just glad to see somebody that's not the same old people or somebody other than the one they see in the mirror every morning. You know what I mean? And the nursing home ministries are very rewarding, if you want to say it that way, if you want to get it, because I remember we used to, there's times we used to go in and we had a choir, we had a senior adult choir, we go in and do a program, and most of those folks had never been in a choir, never sang in a choir before in their life, and some of them probably shouldn't have, but the fact is we'd go in and we would sing and they would go in and shake hands, and the fact is these people would almost, it got to the point they'd cheer when they saw us walking in the door. They go to their social director there, and they said, when are we getting, it was called the Super 60s Choir. They were supposed to be 60 years old. They were all 80. The fact is they just loved seeing these people come. And I'm just trying to put a bug in your ear, and that's something you may do. Say, well, I can do that once a month on a Tuesday or once a month on a Thursday. But sometimes I can do it on Tuesday, sometimes again. We could probably make that work. So I really want to encourage you to think about that. And really, it makes it seems like I thought things were going to slow down after the building got done, but these last couple of weeks has just been crazy. And you just can't get out and make all the visits you want to make, and sometimes they just need a smiling face. We have a few folks around here who really pay attention to that, and you know what people make a generalization about our church? You have the friendliest people. And it's good. So I just want to encourage you to do that. All right, Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. Let me read through verse number 50 to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. And it says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, like there weren't any other sinners in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, he said unto Simon, and watch me, he turned to the woman, but he said unto Simon, the Pharisee, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's pray, and we're going to talk on this topic for a few moments tonight. How much have you been forgiven? How much have you been forgiven? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. And Lord, sometimes I don't like to look in the mirror because I know I'm not going to like what I see. But Lord, may we be honest with ourselves tonight and look into the mirror and just ask ourselves a few questions. And Lord, may we take one more step closer to you. Speak to our hearts. We need your spirit. Can't do it without him. We'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. And we're coming to another passage in Luke that is only really covered in Luke. There are some similar passages, but because they come at a different time in Christ's life, we really think this is a separate incident here. Again, Luke is dealing with Jesus as the Son of Man, the one who's touched with our needs, touched with our frailties. He knows who we are. He knows our shortcomings. He weeps over them, but he also wanted to bring an answer for them. Luke enters into the thoughts and the intents of the individual. And I think we can see ourselves in the mirror of God's word. Number one, we've got a lot of blanks tonight, but I think it'll go pretty fast. Number one, Jesus is willing to associate with all kinds of sinners. Jesus is willing to associate with all kinds of sinners. Letter A, watch this. Ready? Good sinners. I could put that in quotations, but I think you're going to see what I mean. These are people who think they're not necessarily good at sinning, but they're good. But they're still sinners. Luke 7:36 says, And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. So obviously he thought, well, he certainly won't turn me down. Come and have dinner at my house. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. Now, normally in that culture, one of the first things you do is have one of the servants wash your feet. I think part of it was out of respect, and part of it was probably out of necessity of all they walk in and everything else out there in the road in those days. But they haven't washed their feet. Let me say a couple things here. Number two. It's going to go pretty fast. The sins of good sinners are not usually blatant, flagrant, and obvious to others. We're good folks. People don't see our sins. Often when I lead somebody to Christ, and I've used this before as an illustration, the Bible says that nothing can enter heaven that would defile it. And so I always use that illustration. We were here, we went through all that. I use the illustration of the water glass. As if you're outside and it's hot and you're thirsty and it's 100 degrees and 95% humidity, and I go out and say, let me go get you a glass of water. So I get a clean glass, put fresh ice in there, and I get what's supposed to be pure water, and I put it in there. I wonder if it's cold. Yep, it's cold. Here you go. Now all of a sudden we're not as thirsty as we thought we were. Why? Because I just defiled that. However, if you hadn't seen me do it, you wouldn't know it by looking at it. But it's not what we look like on the outside, but what God knows we are on the inside. The problem is that many folks, such as the Pharisees, believe the way they look on the outside is what counts. And what's on the inside really doesn't matter, because it only matters what others see, not what God sees. In fact, I think sometimes they think, well, if everybody else is impressed, God ought to get on board and get impressed too. So two, the sins of good sinners are not usually blatant, flagrant, and obvious to others. Number three, good sinners are good at sinning, but not good at detecting their sins. They're good at sinning, but not good at detecting their sins. There's a lot of things that we can say that we don't see ourselves as sin. Number four, good sinners are good at camouflaging, or you just put the word covering if you don't know how to spell camouflaging, but covering it up, pretending it's not there. Good sinners are good at camouflaging their sin. I mean, we're sinners, but we can dress them up. Jesus says, look, you're whited sepulchers. You're gorgeously arrayed on the outside, but inside you're nothing but a bunch of dead men's bones. Now, the fact is, this Pharisee says, if Jesus knew who she was, he wouldn't sit there. Wait a minute. Jesus knows who you are, too. You're a sepulcher full of dead men's bones. Jesus associates with all us sinners. Number five, good sinners can sin and make it look righteous to the average person. Good sinners can sin and make it look righteous to the other sinner. It's like walking up to somebody at the other church and say, do you believe they did that? I can't believe she wore that. You know what he's been doing? And it's like, I'm a good sinner because, see, I know how to point out their sins. I know that they're sin, so I know a lot about sin. So I must be a good person because I can see sin when I see it. The fact is, number six, good sinners are still sinners. I don't care if you call them good sinners or bad sinners, or good people, bad people, but they're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there's none righteous, no, not one. None. So I'm glad that Jesus is willing to associate with all kinds of sinners. Letter A, good sinners. Letter B, you know where I'm going, bad sinners. And of course, there's all kinds of things in between there. Well, I'm not really all that great, but I'm not bad, you know. But let's just kind of put the two extremes here. Bad sinners, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Let's go that far. So we had a Pharisee. Now, we know he's a sinner because all have sinned. But he's a good guy, right? But he's a good sinner. Well, now we got a bad sinner. Number two, the sins of bad sinners are usually obvious. The sins of bad sinners are usually obvious to the general public. Number three, bad sinners usually recognize their sin. I'm serious. Bad sinners usually, they know they're a mess. They don't expect anybody to think they're not a mess, but that's just what they are. They usually just feel helpless in their sin. Now they may say, well, you know, what am I going to do? I can't do anything about it. Just, but most times, not always, I'm making some generalizations here, but bad sinners most of the time recognize their sin. Number four, bad sinners are known to be sinners. And fact is, most bad sinners who are known to be sinners know that they're known to be sinners. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to over my years. Well, yeah, I'm a mess, but, you know, what are you going to do? I'm a sinner. Daddy was a sinner, and I was a drunk, dad was a drunk, granddad was a drunk. That's just what we are. We're just a bunch of drunks. This is all we are. I'm lazy, dad was lazy, grandpa was lazy. This is just where we are. I'm loose, mom was loose, and so was grandmom. It's where we are. Number five, bad sinners cannot usually camouflage their sin. Cannot usually camouflage their sin. Everybody knows it's there. Maybe it gets behind the scenes and this and that and other thing. Last, number six, watch. The righteousness of bad sinners is often still counted as sin, I should have put on here, by the good sinners. The righteousness of bad sinners is often counted as sin by the good sinners. This lady here was doing right, but it seemed wrong because a bad sinner was doing it. Look, did you see what she's doing? I can't believe she did that. They came to church like that. Could you smell smoke? I mean, it was awful. You just smell smoke. Oh, I'm awful terrible. Why in the world would they come to church like that? As if it's a sin for them to come looking for the Lord. Number two. So, Lord associates with all kinds of sinners, good sinners and bad sinners. Number two, not all sinners are willing to associate with Jesus. Not all sinners are willing to associate with Jesus. Letter A, bad sinners tend to be drawn to a Savior if they think that the Savior will allow them to associate with Him, with them. I should have said with Him, I'm sorry. But take the last of them and make it a Him. Bad sinners will tend to be drawn to a Savior if they think the Savior will allow them to associate with Him. I'll tell you what, we do funerals. It happened again today, not quite as blatant, you know, prominent, but at funerals, it's amazing. When you give the gospel to the group, because when you do a funeral, you've got a smattering of everything in that room. It's great. It's a wonderful thing. You got them coming from everywhere, the churched and the non-churched. You know, the Pharisee and the one who knows they're a sinner. And you know, when you give grace, you preach the grace of God. But the fact is, you preach the truth that we're all sinners. And they all know that. And then they realize, you mean He'll have me? It's a wonderful thing. But then you got the other folks who say, well, He's lucky to have me. Look what happened here. It says, letter A there, verse 37. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at His feet behind Him weeping, began to wash His feet with tears. First of all, how'd she get in? If the Pharisee knew who she was, why He let her in the door? I think because she just said, she didn't see anything but Jesus. And she just wanted to get to that Savior. Now, just so you understand, when they ate back then, they'd have a table or a mat or something close, and the table was usually very short. And in Oriental cultures, they would lay down on one side, they would lean on one elbow, and the feet would stick out behind them. And so they're eating at the table sideways. So she just kind of stood there behind Him, just kind of like, this is him. My guess is by that time He looked at her a time or two and smiled. And I don't think she was in love physically. I think she saw something amazing. She saw the grace of God in His eyes. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know what the story was, how she knew, but she, after a while, she became so overwhelmed. She just, started to tear up, you know, how ladies do, you know, and she just started tearing. And it says that she washed His feet with the tears. You check it. The word means she started to rain. She's just standing there. And she started raining. Now, he didn't wash, the coach didn't wash his feet. So his feet were still full of dust. And so every tear that fell on his feet down there, you know, it kind of what it does when he falls in the dust, it kind of makes a little muddy mess there and a little clean spot and dark spot. Oh, my soul. I'm weeping on his feet. She took her hair down and she brought it out and she was wiping it off and then she's crying some more and she's wiping it off and she's crying some more. And she's like, I can't believe it. Until she had, and then by that time, they're pretty well clean. She had that alabaster box. Well, let's just go ahead and anoint them now. They're clean. Let's go ahead and just do that. She showered her rain and rained her tears down on his feet. She stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears and wipe, to brush them off with the hairs of her head and kissed. That means to kiss earnestly, to show strong affection. She just almost couldn't control herself. She was just so overwhelmed with whatever that expression of grace or whatever he's been giving her, that she could hardly stand still. Let her be. Good sinners often do not want to associate with Jesus. Good sinners often don't want to associate with Jesus. I'll explain in a second. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden her saw it, he spake within himself, saying, I thought he's supposed to be all have all knowledge and wisdom. Well, we can see that he's nothing. If he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, has attached herself to him. Can't believe he lets her touch him. How sacrilegious. How unfitting. How she is defiling our presence in our house. I mean, she's filthy sinner in the first place. Now her tears are all over the floor. And now what was on his feet is in her hair. She's walking around the house with this stuff in her hair. How horrible. And if he had known who she was, he wouldn't let that happen. If he knew what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. One who sinned misses the mark. She doesn't measure up. Oh, she doesn't measure up to another sinner? God associates all kinds of sinners, the good sinners, the bad sinners, but they're all sinners. What do you mean she doesn't measure up? Doesn't measure up to what? What's your standard of righteousness here? You? For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. So the standard of righteousness is Jesus Christ because he's God. So if you cast her out because she doesn't measure up, but she measures up fine with Jesus, where's that place you? At least where you think you should be placed. In fact, he was sizing up Jesus in comparison to himself. Number two, little Roman two. Good sinners do not want to associate with Jesus because associating with Jesus is associating with a Savior. A Savior. Which implies that they need a Savior. Which implies that they're sinners. But they don't want anyone to know they're sinners. They don't want to associate with Jesus because they're associating with a Savior. To associate with a Savior must mean we're sinners. Number three, what kind of sinner am I? Ask yourself, what kind of sinner am I? I am. Well, messed it up again, didn't I? Reverse those two words. What kind of sinner? I was a little in a rush this afternoon. What kind of sinner am I? Look at verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, let me tell you a story here. Let me say something here. I have somewhat to say unto thee. So Jesus is going to allow Simon to decide what kind of sinner he is. He didn't say, you dirty, rotten, arrogant. How dare you? Now see, if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. All of a sudden, we'll see somebody as being arrogant. We'll be arrogant and tell them not to be arrogant. That's not what Jesus did. He said, let me tell you a story. Well, he won't get it if I don't do it the other way. He will if you do it in love and the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't have to smack him in the face and over the head with a 2x4. Give him the word of God to sharpen any two-edged sword, divides asunder. Yeah. It tells us, it's a discernment of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You give him the word of God. And if the word of God's not doing the job, then the fact is you're probably giving it to him in a dirty vessel. Clean up the vessel so you can give the word of God in a clean vessel, and it'll do its job. Jesus answered, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, Master, say on. He probably thought he's in good shape because, listen, what's he going to have against me? He said, there was a certain creditor, a lender, which had two debtors, someone who was indebted to another. Some people owed him. They were indebted. And, of course, we are indebted to the Lord. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. In other words, one owed 10 times more than the other. And when they had nothing to pay, the one who had 5 and the one who had 50 sins, the one who only had a few and the one who had 10 times more than the other, when neither had anything to pay. How do you pay for a sin? You can't. It's done. With our good works, our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. So what are you going to pay for it? Filthy rags? He frankly forgave them both. It means out of grace and kindness, he forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. I want to show you, letter B, the grateful sinner. The grateful sinner. Verse 44, and he turned to the woman, he said unto Simon, notice that, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Listen, that lady may have been a bad sinner, and everybody knew she was a sinner. You really couldn't hide the fact that she was a sinner, but she was a grateful sinner. Number two, grateful sinners acknowledge their sinfulness. Grateful sinners acknowledge their sinfulness. In fact, if you're not willing to acknowledge your sinfulness, you don't realize you needed mercy, and you're probably not grateful. Kind of goes both ways, doesn't it? He turned toward her. Now, Mike, it doesn't say anywhere where he said, hey, Simon, come over here in the other room. I want to tell you something. It makes it sound like she's still right there in the room. And she's been watching Jesus all night. I mean, she could hardly keep her eyes off of him. And so the fact is, when he turned to her, my guess is, you know how you feel somebody's eyes on you? You know, my guess is he's looking at me. He says to Simon, he's looking at her, but he says to him, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And then Jesus, so he's discussing her sin with others, and she doesn't appear to protest. I'll tell you what, you get yourself in a room full of folks who know this word of God. You start singing songs like Sinner Saved by Grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm saved, saved, saved. Da, da, da. You know, listen, they're about ready to shout. When they think about what they've got. And you know what they're telling everybody in the whole world? I'm a sinner, but I'm saved. And I'm happy for it.
What are you going to do, hide it? I mean, I'd be honest with you, to try to hide the fact that you're a sinner is one of the dumbest things we can do, because the rest of us already know. Because you've done something, right? She may have not liked it, but she didn't deny it. Yeah, you're right. I am. Number three, grateful sinners acknowledge gratitude. What do I mean by that? Grateful sinners acknowledge gratitude. They're not afraid to say, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad he included me. Yes, he included me. I'm just glad, happy. Probably the happiest people in the world are ones who are sinners and they know it, and they know that it's been forgiven. You know what? You know what the load is? I had a fellow in my office yesterday. I'm not going to tell you all that was going on in his life. Maybe somebody passed the door, but let me just say it's a lot. And we talked a little while, and we talked about some things and some practical things. I said, but I tell you how you're not going to be able to do all that until you become a new creation in Christ. Let me tell you about that. We got done. He got finished praying. He's wiping tears out of his eyes. He's saying, it's funny, I really feel good. He said, that's really funny. He said, I just feel so much better. We haven't fixed anything yet. But we got introduced to the fixer. She's grateful. The gratitude came natural. She didn't say, okay, now, I'm going to make him like me. I'm going to pretend, poke myself in the eye here so I can cry, so I can look like, you know, I'm going to put some tear things in my eye so I can cry and look like I'm, no. It's coming natural. She could hardly stop it. That's the problem. I've had people say, I don't want to give a testament because I might cry. Well, then stand there and cry. Let us cry with you. Now, if you're going to come up here and boo-hoo on purpose and try to look like you're really spiritual, I don't have any time for that. I'll tell you who it was. She can't really sing much anymore because she had to have an operation. Belinda Bauerlein down here. Some of you know as Belinda Lighty. Anyway, I've known her since I was in high school. And I listened to her sing. In fact, one of the reasons I wanted to be a singer because I heard her sing at a Christmas concert when I was a kid. I thought, I want to do that. I like that. That's fun. But anyway, she was in my choir and sang special music down at Open Door when I was down there. And she would always say, now, if you've got anybody to fill that spot, you let them sing. I don't need to sing. But if you want me to sing, I'll sing. I'd be glad to. And the fact is, she stood up and she would sing a song. And it was, and she cried, she choked up. I mean, you could hear the song, but, you know, she wasn't putting on. And I shouldn't probably tell all the stories. She'll be embarrassed that I said this, but don't tell her I said this. But I'd rather have her sing with either a broken or rejoicing heart than have somebody stand there. Oh, I love him in a cold heart. Any day. She couldn't stop the tears. Let her see. The ungrateful sinner. Let's see that one. The ungrateful sinner. Verse 45. He says, thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman says, the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. He says, you couldn't bring yourself to even think of me. And she couldn't help but think of me. Couldn't even bring herself to, I mean, he said he couldn't even bring himself to even think about Jesus the Savior. She couldn't help it. Number four. This is not going to make a whole lot of statement here, but here's the verse. It stands for itself. Grateful sinners are forgiven. Grateful sinners are forgiven. So he tells, he turns to the woman, he says to Simon, and he kind of, you know, lets him know the truth. And then he says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, Simon, her sins, which are many," they're many, "are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her," apparently she was right there. He didn't say he shouted across the room and went in the next room and told her. It makes it sound like she's right there. And he says to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Can you imagine the relief she felt? Grateful sinners are forgiven. You know why? Because they know they're sinners. And they know they need a Savior. Number 5. Ungrateful sinners refuse forgiveness. Ungrateful sinners refuse forgiveness. The verse says it this way, "And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins?" In fact, ungrateful sinners cannot find forgiveness. You see, if you're not grateful for forgiveness, it's because you don't believe you need forgiveness. Listen, I've had couples in my office who had some issues. It was over the years, whether it's here or there, but I've had them in my office. And it's amazing when one looks at the other one in the eye and says, "You know, I'm just so sorry." It's amazing how often the other one just melts. "I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry." You love it. And they're grateful. They start tear up because they've been forgiven. Number 6. Grateful sinners are given the peace of God in their hearts. Verse 50 says, "And he said it to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Do you think, just think about that. Her sins, which were many, but she came to Jesus basically, "This is all I have. This is it." And he said, "Your sins are forgiven." My guess is she didn't say, "Oh, good. Well, I'll catch you later." I don't think that's the way it went. Listen, she was crying just being behind him. Can you imagine her response when the sins were gone? But you know what? You'll say, "Well, she's just kind of simple." No. The Pharisee, he said, "I are educated. I know." I bet you his heart was still in turmoil. He, down deep in his heart, he knows he's a sinner, but he don't want to confess Jesus as a Savior because then he's telling everybody else he's a sinner. And then he spoils his camouflage, his cover's over. He messed up his cover. And everybody's going to know he's been lying to him all these years, putting on a show. Number 7. You have that? Did I give you that? How much sin has been forgiven you? Let me say a couple things first, and I'll give the answer. How much sin has been forgiven you? What is your perspective on how much has been forgiven? Now, I understand that just because we may not have obvious, flagrant, blatant sin in our lives, it doesn't mean that we really have a lot of hidden sin in our lives. I know it doesn't mean that. On the other hand, if sin is coming short of the glory of God, those of us without obvious sin in their lives and most likely have a whole lot more hidden sin in our lives than we do not, and that we don't even recognize. Anything you do without faith is not sin. I mean, it's sin. Anything you do without faith is sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But look upon a woman, and lust of my heart, I've sinned already. To hate someone in your heart is the fact to commit murder in your heart. have a big fight with your wife is a sin. Or vice versa, I guess it takes two to fight, huh? How much sin has been forgiven you? Ready? Here's the answer. All of it. All of it. When he tells the Pharisees, he says, "Listen, the Son of Man hasn't come to save the wealthy, the whole." He says he came to be a physician for those who need to be made whole. But he's not telling the Pharisees that they're whole. He's saying, he's implying, if you don't know, then I can't help you. James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." So I'm glad he paid for all of it. That's how much of many of my sins are forgiven, all of them. So really, all of hers were forgiven, and she loveth much. If all of our sins have been forgiven, watch. If all of her sins weren't forgiven, she goes to hell. If all of our sins weren't forgiven, we'd go to hell. She is grateful, jumping up and down, tears, she can't stop because she has forgiveness.
And so do we. I don't have to be a fallen woman where everybody knows in town knows that I'm a sinner to feel rejoicing because I'm forgiven. The wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say the wages of a lot of sin is death. Didn't say the wages of certain sins is death. It doesn't say the wages of socially unacceptable sins are death. He says the wages of sin is death. Sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The sin in our heart that brings us to practice sinful actions is the same in all of us. It passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As soon as we think we have very little sin for God to forgive, we just added another one to the list. How much sin have you been forgiven? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening again. And Lord, I appreciate our folks who come week after week to hear your word. And Lord, just to look at their eyes, they're saying, tell me the truth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me what I need to know. How precious that is. But Lord, we all need to be reminded that all our sins are paid for, whether they were many or whether they were few in comparison. We need them all paid for. Lord, thank you for our dear folks. Bless us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, and we're going to turn to 280 and just kind of think about what he did. Let's stand together. 280. I know you know this old song, but this is how